So what I'm understanding here, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're not giving me any money. So now I'm left basically with nothing. I'm left with zero, which what can I do with zero? You know, what can I can't do anything with it. I need to, this is my life here we're talking about. We're not just talking about, you know, something else. We're talking about my life, you know, and it's forcing me to do something I don't want to do, to leave, to go out and just leave and go home and say, make a clean cut here and say, no way, Corky, you're not putting up with these people. And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people. That's what you are. You're just bastard people. And I'm going home and I'm gonna bite my pillow is what I'm gonna do.
Pre-recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A. It's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
Now, to the plant. We'll take the spruce moose. Hop in.
But, sir.
I said hop in.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
Yes, indeed. It's the Bob and Elvis Show. Bob Seska here in Pennsylvania. Elvis Dingledean there in Nebraska. Trading Guffman quotes yesterday on the Twitter.
Yes, we were, because I was watching it.
Endlessly entertaining. My God. And I forgot just how truly packed with funny that movie is.
Yeah. It's really, after Spinal Tap, it's the best of the cast.
I don't know what happened with A Mighty Wind.
I enjoyed A Mighty Wind.
Really?
I thought it was great. I did. The other one, for your consideration, wasn't all that great, but I enjoyed A Mighty Wind.
Also in there was Mr. Burns. That was a clip we were talking about last week, you know, where he's, yep. You know, Mr. Burns is like Howard Hughes in the casino, like watching over the casino in Springfield. By the way, they're building the first casino in a major city in Philadelphia here.
Uh-oh.
But, Mr. Burns is acting like Howard Hughes, you know, with the long beard and the, you know, the tissue boxes on his feet. And Smithers is there in his surgical garb. And Burns runs over, grabs that model airplane, and says, "We can take the Spruce Moose. Get in." And clearly, it's a model. I said, "Hop in." Unbelievable. And we were also talking about the praising the virtues of living legend Fred Willard.
He's just there's nothing better than Fred Willard. All you have to do with that guy is point a camera at him. I mean, that's all you have to do. He's just hilarious.
We have a huge show lined up, but I've got some Fred Willard here for you. Here's from Guffman.
I'm going to be glad to do the show on Broadway, and there'll probably be other offers. Keeping our fingers crossed, but I don't know if the theater and the stage is for me. I mean, for one thing, there's an awful lot of memorizing of lines, and I think you know what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's always been
the ultimate goal, Hollywood. Even when I was a kid doing my impressions, here's looking at you, babe, and you don't care about anyone but yourself. Who is it? Henry Fonda. I always have to tell her who I'm doing. She always laughs, but now who is that? But I think back there's always the germ in my mind that's where I'd end up on the silver screen. Mm-hmm. And you got the face for it too, darling.
I mean, the great thing about all those movies is just how truly delusional the characters are.
Always, yeah. No matter which movie, they're just delusional, crazy people.
So far gone. And yeah. Eugene Levy's character in this movie, in Waiting for Guffman, was particular. Yeah. The whole thing with him, he's a dentist, and he fancies himself kind of a Johnny Carson-style comic. And
like the Yiddish Johnny Carson.
That's right.
He had relatives that, you know, came up in the Catskills, and he is absolutely priceless, Eugene Levy. He just kills me.
And what was he saying in the movie that he wasn't the class clown in high school?
He sat next to him
and studied him.
There's just this great big Coke bottle glasses.
Oh, yeah. And then there's this great, this is the opening speech by Christopher Guest as Corky Sinclair.
I had been living in New York and working there as an actor and director and choreographer for 25 years or so, and I really felt I needed a change. I imagined in my fantasy, I suppose, that when I came here, I would have a completely different life. Perhaps a construction worker or one of those guys that works on those high wire things that with a hard hat, you know, that sweeping sort of hat. And
that's just great. That sweeping sort of hat. Jesus. Oh, my God.
It's the most cognitive dissonance on earth that guy gets to go home and bang Jamie Lee Curtis. I just can't factor that.
Right.
Unless she's, you know, actually has a penis like everyone says she does.
So a couple of things here. First of all, a show brought to you today by Bubble Genius and Pomegranate Journeys. And also a big announcement for next week. We're going to have our first guest next week on the show.
Yeah, how's that going to work?
Well, Skype? Skype. I mean, it's got to work by Skype. And what we have to do is kind of test the technology and figure out, you know, because I'm like Zoolander banging on that iMac. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. So we're going to have to figure out how exactly to patch in a third voice via Skype to get Shannon Moore, TV's Shannon Moore, radio's Shannon Moore on the show to talk about Alaskan politics.
Yeah, because apparently you're screwing the pooch over there on the blog and she's pissed at you,
so. I'm evidently just totally clueless about what's happening up there. It's a weird universe, twisted backwards world up there where, you know, everything's mixed up and upside down and black is white and white is black and we're through the looking glass.
Yeah, she called me the other day. Called me the other day and said, "What the fuck's the matter with Bob? He's an idiot." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
You better take that up with Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I should actually read, and I wanted to cover this next week on the show. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to save this for now. She sent me a DM that was just, I was like shocked. My face just blanched. I looked at it and I went, "Oh, fuck."
Pwned.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's just like really shocking.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
And I was in big trouble. And it was because of Lisa Murkowski. You know what? F Lisa Murkowski.
With her website that misspelled her name.
right.
So. Oh, politics.
Yeah, and then Shannon called me yesterday and tried to explain it all to me. And of course, my reaction was natural.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Right.
Loud noises.
Yeah, exactly. Loud noises.
Loud noises!
It's been a particular week for loud noises, that's for sure.
That's for sure. And the latest thing, and this hasn't really sort of spread around the blogosphere yet. No one's talking about it on cable news, which is kind of shocking to me, because last night, Sarah Palin went just totally full birther.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, full birther. I mean, she didn't say Kenya. She didn't say Kenyan or birth certificate. But she didn't have to. She was on Greta Van Susteren last night. I guess, is she on Greta Van Susteren every night?
Yeah, it's Susteren is her press secretary, basically. So, you know, it's just like, well, let's have our daily talk with the candidate here.
That has got to be illegal. I can't believe that this is allowed to continue on. Where, I mean, they're just on
news network.
Exactly, where they're on Fox News. Where it's Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Engel, these guys, they're going on Fox News and just admitting that, hey, we're raising money.
Yeah, it's and nobody seems to care. Oh well, that's just what you do on Fox News. Don't get me started. It's unbelievable. But that's fine because they're such pinheads. That's not how you broaden your... That's only preaching to the choir, and that only gets you a fixed ceiling number of votes, right? So knock yourselves out. Raise money, but that's the... You know, you're in a box that you were in anyway, and you're not getting any extra votes that way. Yeah. So good luck. It's just going to be a slaughter in November, I swear to God, in a good way for us. These people have no idea what they're doing. They're just amateurs.
Yeah. I mean, do you think so? I mean, you think it's going to kind of reverse the other way? I mean,
Oh, God, yes. You just believe me.
Listen to you.
I know what I'm talking about.
The anti-Halperin. That's great.
Yeah.
The anti-Charlie Cook.
I can't even talk about it. Let's not talk about politics at all today. I'm just going to start shouting loud noises.
Well, see, we have a show for you to vent about politics. That's the point of this program.
Damn. All right, so Palin went full birther.
Please continue. She went full birther. But I was going to comment that I brought up Charlie Cook there. Charlie Cook has got Corky St. Clair hair. Did you notice that?
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
He's got That's kind of that call. The sweeping sort of hat on his head. So Palin went full birther last night on Greta Van Susteren. We'll just listen to it and then talk about it here.
Go right to Delaware. Can Christine O'Donnell win the United States Senate seat, and is she going to win?
I think she absolutely can win. She needs to stay on message, talking about reining in the federal government and really connecting with her Delaware voters and ignoring what the lamestream media is trying to do.
Oh, God.
Makes me so mad every fucking time she says
I know,
that.
I know.
Which is why she says it.
Well, she might as well just and say, you can just, you know, she might as well just say lamestream media, LOL, winky face. I mean,
OMFG.
OMFG. Yeah. I mean, God. I mean, I'll say it. If I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. The Republicans are elevating a tween girl, who markets in internet memes. It's pathetic.
Yeah. Lamestream and now, media. I mean, I've got her mannerisms and everything so burned into my mind's eye that I can see the face she's making in this clip, even without having seen it. The way she talks through her nose when she's, you know, with that kind of schoolmarmy disapproval, like she's talking to a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah.
You know, that I just, she does it on purpose, just specifically to get at. It's like she went to school for how to annoy a liberal, you know?
That's right.
It's like somebody taught her, okay, now if you tilt your head back just a little and kind of look down through your glasses and talk through your nose and make it sound like you think everybody you're talking to is a fucking idiot, even though you know you're the fucking idiot, then every liberal on earth will want to strangle you.
Well, I think she's
so kudos.
I mean, she's just narcissistic enough to believe that everyone's as stupid as she is, so therefore it's a level playing field. I mean, her tweets this week have been staggering. I don't have her Twitter feed up here, but maybe if you could pull that up while we play the rest of the. But I mean, I want to get blocked by Sarah Palin. So I'm trying desperately to just go for the jugular. I'm not using Elvis Dingledean language, mind you, but I'm using.
You're not saying retard repeatedly?
No, I'm trying to use a little bit of jujitsu. A little bit of
too clever for her. You'll never get banned that way.
Yeah, I guess. But you know, gotta laugh.
I'm trying to get John McCain to physically fly to my house and kick my ass.
Yeah, we'll talk about John McCain in a minute. Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck that guy. I swear to God.
I talk about a guy who went total Howard Hughes this week.
He just absolutely lost his fucking mind on camera.
Right. Right.
I can't wait for the auto-tune.
Back to Sarah Palin and her. We haven't even. I mean, that was just. She just said lamestream, and it turned into a 10-minute rant. Let's get to the actual Bertha remarks here.
To her with all the distractions. Funny, Greta, though, that we are learning more about Christine O'Donnell and her college years and her teenage years and her financial dealings than anybody ever even bothered to ask about Barack Hussein Obama as a candidate and now as our president. We're learning a lot about Christine.
There it is. There it is.
She didn't do that.
Yeah. Total.
That's
total
you.
Burger.
Stay classy, Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, what that was. Oh, you should see the freeze frame. You would love the freeze frame of the video I'm looking at right now, Sarah Palin. There it is. I mean, we don't know. What that is that is a birther dog whistle. I mean, she doesn't come right out and say birth certificate Kenya, forgery, conspiracy. She basically just says we don't know who this guy is, Barack Hussein Obama.
That's more than we ever learned about Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about that jackass.
He's the
most vetted fucking politician. I don't get this whole meme about this whole he wasn't vetted thing. He's a Chicago politician. Yeah. There's no such thing. And he ran against the Clinton machine. Mm-hmm. What? How is he not vetted? He just didn't. What they mean is he didn't have any fucking skeletons in his closet.
That's right.
That's what they mean. It's not that he wasn't vetted. It's just that they didn't fucking find anything that was worth screaming about.
Yeah.
Because he happens to be a decent guy with no, you know, with a short enough political career to have not yet generated a scandal. Oops. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the wisdom about it is the strategy is, of course, I believe the strategy is the Southern strategy. I believe it's, you know, it's meant to incite bigoted white people and motivate them to vote.
Yeah, but it's people too stupid that who don't even know what that was. I mean, you're dealing with such amateurs that they don't even know that it's the Southern strategy.
Yeah.
They don't know that it's been done before with great success back then. I just it's not working now. I really don't think it, other than inside the Tea Party, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, is the Tea Party is the vocal visual manifestation of the Southern strategy. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's going to so fucking backfire.
Yeah.
Politically, because independents and rational people who aren't just knee-jerk bigot racist fuckholes are not going to vote for these people.
Right.
It's unbelievable. You know, the primary voters are the tinfoil hat wearing political people on both sides. I mean, me and you qualify as that. We're political. We're nerds. We're wonks.
Yeah.
We're primary voters. Mm-hmm. But so are the teabaggers and the insane people that. It will not play on a national stage. And that's why this whole O'Donnell thing about, oh, I'm not going to fuck the national stage. I forget that I'm 1/50th of, you know, this, the most august body in politics. I'll just come on Fox News and it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
No,
she's 15 points behind a candidate who otherwise would have been 15 points behind Castle. So yeah. Oops, your strategy is not going to work.
Right. I mean, because, but did you hear that Mike Castle might run as a write-in? I mean, following...
Oh, that would suck.
Yes,
he better would. Not.
He better not.
He better not, because that'll just drain... there's the third-party candidates, like, it's just the most narcissistic, just awful. Mm-hmm. Like, when Nader said he was getting in on Meet the Press during the 2000... I went around the house screaming and smashing my head into walls when he said that, because he literally had... I really think it's his fault that we got Bush in 2000.
Yeah.
He, because of his bullshit.
Right.
And, you know, I got no problem. And I know people like political party pooper and we don't need political parties. Those guys, they'll go, oh, it's their right and blah, blah, blah. And it's not their votes, but fuck it. Look, there's a political pragmatism to this and there's a way it works and there's statistics. Mm-hmm. So stop. Don't do that.
Yeah.
I will go to Delaware and kick him in the balls if he does that. Repeatedly.
I have tape of you screaming around the house after seeing Nader's announcement.
I bet.
You want to hear it? It's a...
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yeah, that's it. Kicking myself in my own balls.
I mean, I'm not nearly as optimistic as you are. In fact, I'm very pessimistic. I mean, the canary in the coal mine for me. I mean, I was optimistic until I saw that poll out of Wisconsin that, you know, showing Russ Feingold down by, 8 points? Russ Feingold? Jesus, if we cannot get motivated to go out and vote for Russ Feingold, there are some serious, serious effing problems with progressives in this country.
Well, I think we know there are. I mean, with the firebaggers and the just the... I mean, this whole don't ask, don't tell. The reason I was a little late getting to the mic was that... Let Bartlett Be Bartlett was on this morning on the second, which is my all time favorite episode, really. And it was, you know, there's Sam talking to the military and Congress about don't ask, don't tell. And it's just so odd, how, what a mirror that show is sometimes.
Yeah.
And, that's what I've always, but I think in this White House, the White House we've got, I think it's the opposite of what happened in Let Bartlett Be Bartlett, where, Leo goes in to argue with the president that the president's the one that drags him to the middle. I think it's more like Rahm drags Obama to the middle. Rahm needs to go. He needs to go, and we need a real hardcore liberal badass in there.
Yeah.
Rahm's got to go. He's got to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
Get out.
That's Rahm. Absolutely right. And I think exactly. The sooner the better that guy just takes a walk, I think
that would energize the progressive base a little bit. Those firebaggers hate that guy.
Yeah, but I don't know if anything's going to energize the progressive base.
Then
because
they should
be
just fuck off, then. Yeah, I mean, there are Tea Party dead weight right now. There's no making those bitches happy.
Yeah.
There's just nothing you can do. I mean, it's, I'm more sick of them than I am of teabaggers and stuff, because teabaggers are just ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. They're dumbasses. The progressive wing of our party.
They should know better.
Should know better. Yeah. Yes. They should have more political horse sense,
mm-hmm.
more pragmatic, the way things work horse sense.
Yeah.
And that's what pisses me off. Be aggressive about things, be passionate about things. That's fine. But have a little common sense about the way Washington works.
Right.
I just have to keep going back to the graphic of Obama pointing at us that says, chill the fuck fuck out, I got this, because I just know that he knows better than me. And they're just, you know, they're just now starting to politicize their policies now, the you know, the White House. Mm-hmm. They're going on the offensive. I really think we're going to see some serious surprises out of this administration.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, and there's a related topic that I want to get to right after the break, and it has to do with this whole both sides thing. And this is not going to make me very popular with certain people, but I have some things.
Never stopped it before.
I have some things to say about the both sides meme, which is just driving me utterly batshit. Hey, it's Bubble Genius. Today's show brought to you by Bubble Genius. Pure products, pure genius. Their website is coming back. I am informed today that the website bubblegenius.com will be back up and running. But in the meantime, you can check them out at bubblegenius.etsy.com or bubblegenius.etsy.com. Hilarious, all-natural, eco-friendly products for bath, body, and mental well-being. We have a new commercial this week. And I want to say that there are talking balls in it, although there's no specific indication. But here is the this week's pretty damn amazing Bubble Genius commercial.
Bubble Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Bubble Genius, we got your soap right here.
And got their bath and body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
So I think the voices at the end, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I'll just say it. I think they were nards. I have no confirmation. I'm just going to confirm now, myself, without sanction from Bubble Genius, that those were talking nards.
And hippies.
That's right. Make sure to enter your promo code Bob and Elvis, BOBANDELVIS, and get 15% off your entire order. That's pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. And Pomegranate Journeys has also brought us a commercial, and it's in fact in the form of a movie trailer. So, I think it's fantastic that our sponsors are getting really kind of industrious and creative with their commercials. Either that or they're trying to tell us something and they want us to shut the F up. Hey, experience amazing at pomegranate.travel. Pomegranate combines several of my favorite things in the universe, food, wine, and bicycling. I once saw, when I was in grade school, there was once a Bill Cosby bike safety film strip, and he was actually pronouncing it bicycle. I don't know why I remember that. It was like second grade, Canterbury Woods Elementary.
Oh my God. And I know exactly where that is.
Yeah. The fireworks.
I know exactly where that is. I used to work like a mile from where you grew up.
Yeah.
Right there on Braddock Road at that Ravenswood Shopping Center.
Yeah. Ravensworth. Yeah.
I mean, that was Ravensworth, yeah.
Yeah.
That was right next door to where you lived.
Where the greatest buttermilk biscuits in the entire world are at
Kilroy's?
Kilroy's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kilroy's right there. We eat there all the time.
And so on Pomegranate's dime, we're plugging.
Yeah, sorry. Pomegranate.
One of their specialties is designing custom trips for private groups. Customize the dates, location, activities, and difficulty level as well as the budget. And the organizer travels for free with 12 or more people on the trip. Example of a group with specific interest in wine could organize a custom trip with casual riding and lots of wine tours, just drunken riding. Perhaps some cooking lessons in Tuscany, no problem. They have all contacts all over Italy. They're unbelievable. I'm just, I've got like 1 foot out the door. But here now is the brand new commercial from the folks at Pomegranate Journeys.
In a world paralyzed by fear, sedated by the television, numbed by a beach vacation, comes an adventure travel company that will transform your life. Pomegranate Journeys. Experience amazing.
www.pomegranate.travel. Shove Bob and Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
That's right. Did you notice? Here's my favorite thing about the Pomegranate Journeys commercial is they did the Brian Butterworth WWW.
It was,
W. Saturday.
Bonbons.
Hoisin Crispy Owl. Saturday is treat day.
You can eat anything you want. And I mean anything.
And every Saturday morning, I wake up and I literally come downstairs and I pour myself a cup of coffee and I go, Saturday is treat day.
I love that guy.
Peter Serafinowicz is in the new Mitch Hurwitz series with, what's his name from Arrested Development on Fox?
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it's like, it's called,
Will Arnett?
Yeah, Will Arnett, thank you. I almost said Will Durst. I don't know why I was thinking that.
Will Arnett is absolutely hysterical.
He's great.
He was my favorite part of Arrested Development.
Well, speaking of television, did you see, we'll get to this now, and then I want to get back to both sides. Angry.
Hulk smash.
Did you see Boardwalk Empire?
No, it's, again, it's TiVo'd. I like to get a couple episodes under the old belt there. I know I'm going to like it, so I'm not in any hurry, except for spoilers. So
it is possibly, and again, we're only one episode in, and I heard that the pilot episode, the first episode, was actually the weakest.
Oh, Lord.
Of the first season. And I was glued. I mean, talk about combining a shitload of things that are just incredible. I mean, it's like 1920s, right at like the day Prohibition goes into effect. It's Atlantic City. It's, that whole sort of early roaring 20s culture.
Yeah. Gilded Age. It's fascinating.
Exactly. Gangsters. And then, of course, right at the center of it is Steve Buscemi, who I could sit and watch read a menu. That guy could be sitting and reading the phone book in that voice of his.
Yeah.
And and I'm just like, well, okay, you've got my attention, sir.
Yeah.
And
I know I've just been buried in books. I've got my reading list is just retarded right now. So I will get to it, I'm sure. I've got my TiVo beautifully taping it for me.
Nerd.
Can't all just sit around, watch TV, and eat bonbons.
Yes, I'm going to have my Hoisin Crispy Owl on treat day and watch Boardwalk Empire. Here's the Steve Buscemi toast. This is him toasting at the outset of Prohibition. And this is, with all of these sort of hoity-toities from Atlantic City, the mayor and the chief of police and all the gangsters, and they're savoring the notion that they're banning liquor. And then the money they're going to make from bootlegging. So here's Steve Buscemi's toast at dinner.
Boys, as you know, in less than 2 hours, liquor will be declared illegal by decree of the distinguished gentlemen of our nation's Congress. To those beautiful, ignorant bastards. Rest assured.
You know what this reminds me of? This totally reminds me of that scene in The Untouchables.
Oh, where, absolutely supposed to.
Team.
Teamwork. Yeah. Right before he gets his bat.
Yeah. We get nowhere unless the team wins. Team. So this just called to mind that scene. And then, you add Buscemi looking, all lizardy and just all I'm thinking too is total silence, from Fargo, that whole speech where he's talking about, Pancake's house and
yeah. Pancakes.
We have pancakes for breakfast. I want to get a shot and a beer and get laid.
A steak.
We stop at Pancake. Where's Pancake's house?
Where's Pancake's house?
But anyway,
need unguent.
Unguent. My God.
Grimsrud. Yeah. And what's so funny about that is that's the guy that was trusted among the two of them.
Yeah.
That's what terrifies me is that guy is the one that the Indian guy vouched for.
Yeah.
It's like, yikes. Those are just terrifying characters.
And Lord, I love that movie. I wish I could remember that actor's name. He was also the only really good thing in Armageddon, which is just
It was just a big steaming pile of shit.
Yeah, well, it was just retarded awesome is what it was. It's just like one big long, like, what the fuck?
Shot of testosterone. Yeah.
Exactly. People. And then there's that guy as the Russian cosmonaut, who is actually quite entertaining in it. But, you know,
he's
like,
always entertaining. He's great to look at.
Yeah. And then he also does those Volkswagen commercials. He's also been in those Das Auto.
Oh, my Lord.
Pimp My Auto. That's what he's in those spots. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Boardwalk Empire. Yeah. And I'm fascinated with the 20s. You know, I'm a little bit of a history dork. It's just fascinating. It's interesting to think of them in terms of the 20s, in terms of the Gilded Age that, you know, we're very much mirroring now as far as social and financial inequality. And then the end result. It's just amazing that it was time. It was such good times that Congress had the leisure to ban alcohol. I mean, I don't even know what they were thinking. Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating. There's a new book out on it that I'm dying to purchase. That's just all about prohibition, because I really want to. I mean, I know what it was, but I really want to understand the strange coalition that was built between the suffragettes and the prohibitors, and just the social and economic and political atmosphere that allowed that to happen, because it's I can't imagine.
I mean,
it's just absolutely
about...
and the fact that we learned no lessons from it, like with marijuana and other drugs, just what these empires we've built by prohibiting what people put in their bodies to get themselves high.
Right. But here's the rest of this toast, because I mean, it all plays into that.
Dry though the country may be, I am in the midst of concluding arrangements that will keep Atlantic City wet as a mermaid's.
Gee, you're f***ing mermaids.
Whoa,
now?
Every vote counts, Mr. Mayor.
A Republican through and through.
The opportunity that is the Volstead Act has not merely knocked my friends, it has kicked our f***ing doors in.
Yeah. I believe it when I see it.
Come on, George, it'll be like Prohibition never happened. But for one thing, prices will increase 20-fold.
What kind of sucker will pay 3 clams for a drink worth 15 cents?
Yeah. So that language, man, that language always just cracks me up. The 3 clams. If it's going to be more of that kind of stuff, I'm all in.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday will become true.
Yeah, I mean,
day.
That's what made Deadwood so fascinating was the language, you know? Just the. Well, I mean, the writing in general, but the language that they used.
Deadwood, entirely misunderstood. Deadwood is American Shakespeare, as far as I'm concerned. The work that Milch did on that show should be studied for decades and centuries to come. The writing on that show.
Schools.
It absolutely has to be. And oddly enough, I mean, speaking of Deadwood, Boardwalk Empire was the highest rated pilot on HBO since Deadwood.
Wow.
Deadwood pilot was the highest rated until Boardwalk Empire. So that's
I wonder if it has a. Do we know if it has a natural arc season wise, or if it's going to just run until it gets canceled?
Well, I mean, they've already picked up a second season based on the ratings of the premiere episode.
Because it seems like HBO should operate outside of that of the strict. You know, requirements of ratings, you know, it killed me that Deadwood and Carnival. I enjoyed Carnival a lot. I mean, I like long kind of plotting, boring, you know, just, I mean, it really it was a thinking man show. And so was Deadwood. Half the time I had no idea what was going on in Deadwood and didn't care.
Yeah.
The language was so, I mean, those scripts had to be 90 pages long, even for an hour episode. They were so dense. And half the things Swearingen would say, I'm like, I don't know what that means, and I don't care.
Well,
I just want to listen to it again.
Exactly. That's why I really compare it mostly to Shakespeare, because you have to kind of sit, and you have to kind of pick it apart word by word and go over it again and again. I mean, I've got all the DVDs, and I just run through them. You know, it's like with West Wing. I'll just put in Deadwood and go through all the seasons of Deadwood almost as if I'm, like, rereading a fantastic novel, and each time I go through, it's like ironing a shirt. You go a little further, and then you go back and do that previous part again, and by the time you get through it a bunch of times, you start to really grasp. So it's almost like watching. It's kind of show that it almost feels like you're watching it fresh every time, because you're catching new bits and nuances about, you know, these Machiavellian people in the middle of nowhere.
Just it was beyond brilliant, and it kills me that it didn't get its, you know, get a natural you know, as many episodes as it needed, because it never ran out of steam for me. I never lost interest in it at all.
Well, that's what worries me about Boardwalk Genius. Boardwalk Empire. What the hell is my problem? That was our next sponsor is Boardwalk Genius, pure product, yeah. Pure genius, Boardwalk Genius. But concerns
sustainability.
Me, yeah, sustainability because of the costumes and because of the period nature of the series. And that was the problem with Deadwood. It was expensive to make because they needed, I mean, and, you know, Milch is very exacting and, you know, it's HBO, so there are certain quality standards. So, I mean, they really, you know, it's not like 6 Feet Under that could run for many, many seasons because it's just set in Los Angeles. And that
show wore me the fuck out. Mm. I loved it, the first maybe 2.5 seasons. Yeah. And then it was so relentlessly grim and brutal. just every episode was like just getting punched in the duodenum. You just couldn't, oh God, I can't just be happy for 2 minutes, please.
Right, right.
It was just so relentlessly grim.
Well, the thing I remember most about 6 Feet Under is, of course, the last scene of the last episode where, you know, I think half the country, including myself, was just all, you know, just watching this and sobbing openly as, you know, we watch all the characters basically dying.
I didn't make it that far.
One by one. Really?
I have no idea how it ended. I really, about the third season, I was like, fuck this show. I cannot be. I mean, I'm already depressed. I don't need any more help in that department. Although I loved Dexter Man. Yeah. His character was fantastic.
Oh, he was the most compelling character in that. I mean, I wanted to. I mean, I followed 6 Feet Under all throughout the run. But, I mean, the one character I really just could not connect with ever was Nate. I just could not grasp what his story was. I mean, you talk about, I mean, basically, the, I mean, the whole series was like narcissistic people who worked so closely with death, but could never grasp the meaning of mortality. And so that's why that when Alan Ball wrote that last episode and we see all of these people finally having to cope with each other's deaths,
What happened? Was there some kind of Holocaust? Somebody come in and shoot them all?
No. I mean, Claire, what happens in the last episode? Claire finally leaves. She buys, you know, she gets her trust fund. That gets opened up. She buys herself a Prius and decides to drive across country and go to New York to pursue her photography and art career. And so it's this, I wish I had my iTunes up here because I would play the actual song. It's this great song. It's like a pop song playing. But it's very emotional. And as she's driving, you know, she's heading out of Los Angeles and then into the desert. And, you know, it's just her in the car. And then we're flashing to progressively each character's death as they die of natural or otherwise causes.
Throughout time.
Through the future. Oh, okay. So you're seeing like one by one the characters dying based upon their age. So like first the mother goes and then the second husband goes, and then, you know, and then finally, I mean, you talk about, I'm going to start again. you get to that last scene and right. And it's Claire, laying in, you know, infirmed in her bed as an old lady.
They had her made up as an old lady?
Made up as an old lady. With all the pictures of all those characters then in their younger years, all in frames on the wall. And, I mean, you want to talk about laying it on thick?
Yeah, wow.
They pan up to her face, and she has cataracts. And so she can't even see the pictures that she took.
Thanks, David Ball.
Yeah, thank you, Alan Ball. Thank you. And, I just remember sitting there, and you know, I'm not a big crier, but you know, I can cry, and I was in hysterics at the end of this. I mean, just like bawling. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's like, but I almost after that, I almost felt manipulated. I felt like. You know,
well, Alan Ball manipulate it? Manipulate? Oh, come on.
Yeah, I felt like damn you!
No.
Because it was so thick. I mean, it was a great way to end the series, but it was just, it was so thick. But anyway. Now I've got to talk about something that's going to piss me off to counteract the...
You do it.
...the end of the last thing. So this both sides thing. Jon Stewart pissed me off. with this. You know, I think it's a great idea for those guys to hold a rally, and you know, it's like picking a favorite child. I don't know who's my favorite between Stewart and Colbert. Night to Night will be, you know, I'll Colbert is clearly the better show. Oh, now wait, Jon Stewart's, but I would like to see the Colbert rally more than the Jon Stewart rally, and here's why, because Jon Stewart had to, I mean, he couldn't just say that these Glenn Beck teabagger people are effing insane, and we're going to restore sanity. He had to like do this whole both sides thing where, well, they're insane over there with Glenn Beck and, you know, whatever the Michael Moore liberals are doing, they're insane too. Mm-hmm. And it's not like that. Glenn Beck is out of his friggin' mind. Well, I mean, it's obviously an act. He's pretending to be out of his mind, but I don't know.
Like a fox.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know if there's an equivalent to that, to Glenn Beck. There isn't. There's no one on the left that has Glenn Beck's reach, his audience, and concurrent with that, the level of wackaloon conspiracy theory. I mean, he was talking about, well, I have this clip here. I don't know if they'll even play it because it's just a standard Glenn Beck clip where he's, you know, he's talking about, this is from his TV show this week, where he's talking about how progressives are like lurking in the night, you know, scheming and plotting to set up world, like global government, one world, new world order government. Progressives are doing this and also figuring out ways to redistribute the wealth. You know,
he does that every week. That's just normal shtick, and people eat it up with a spoon. They think it's all running off this UN playbook, this UN Plan 51 or some bullshit.
Yeah.
And like you said last night on Twitter, it's, oh no, there they are. I see them. They're outside plotting.
Yeah.
When has anyone ever gotten a coalition together big enough to agree on even the easy things, much less the machinations of a one world government?
Right.
Just retarded.
Yeah. I mean, I love that he believes that the progressive movement is so, you know, congealed.
Right. And scary, scary, capable.
Right.
You know, because everything else, we're just such dumbasses and we're so, you know, whoa, speaking with idiots. But no, on the giant conspiracies that would take over the entire, you know, global political community, that we really have our game together on that.
Right. I mean, what I can't figure out is how exactly, how do you debate policy? How do you get down to the bare bones of the details of, you know, whether it's taxes or economic recovery with people who think that you're out in the dark plotting global government.
That's the thing. You don't.
But
there's no talking to them.
Jon Stewart is telling me that we are just as insane as the teabaggers and the Glenn Beck people and all of the people in the Republican Party who pander to them. And I don't buy that. I think that's nonsense. And I think this is symptomatic. And I think you and I can kind of relate to this in terms of, you know, me having been a Republican when I was 18 years old, quickly shifted when I hit academia. You became a liberal after 9/11. We kind of have an insight there in terms of how, you know, both sides operate in a way. There's mm-hmm. just there's no, in a modern sense, there's no correlation between the two.
I don't know. And it's just, I mean, that I really think that's just Jon Stewart's way of kowtowing just a bit to the media requirement for balance, that so that he's not so easily labeled, you know, a raving liberal mouthpiece, even though, you know, just own it, dude.
That's right.
Who cares?
Is he applying for a post in the Obama cabinet or something?
Right.
I mean,
right.
No, he's Jon Stewart, for God's sake. Take a stand. Right. I mean, he's smarter than that. He knows that there isn't a both side things. So, I mean, what happens is while conservatives are governing, you know, liberals and progressives, and we're all going after the conservatives to try to get someone liberal elected president or get more liberal Democrats elected to Congress. And then as soon as that happens, we cannot wait to undermine ourselves.
Yeah, we can turn on each other like Vipers.
That's it. We turn on each other, and we go down this road of this ridiculous fucking both sides meme. Where okay, so now all of a sudden it's not the conservatives; it's everybody. Everyone's stupid. Yeah. You know, and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. This is where intellectual honesty tends to backfire for progressives. You know, there's nothing intellectually honest about saying both sides, but it sounds that way. It sounds like we're being fair-minded.
Fair and balanced. Yeah. It's the legacy. We've said it before. It's the legacy of the Fox, of Fox News owning this whole idea of fair and balanced as if, I mean, just to say it, just to come out and say it, admits to a certain media bias, right?
Yeah.
So now we all have to scramble the whole media apparatus, TV, cable, blogosphere, everything has to now sort of buy into that fair and balanced thing to strip everything of bias. And facts, facts are facts. I discredit the entire idea of bias.
Yeah.
As where when it comes to fair and balanced, it's ridiculous. And that's not to say that there aren't crazy people in progressive politics and crazy people that say crazy things and do crazy shit.
That's right.
But it's not institutionalized and super funded and it has a 30 million person audience every night. You know, it's the wackaloon, the odd, strange douche that we all sort of, point and laugh at. It's not institutionalized and funded and absolutely part of our political machine the way it is for Fox News and Glenn Beck and O'Reilly and Van Susteren and all those douchebags. Levin.
Right. Well, I mean, if Elvis Dingledean is on Twitter remarking about Senator McCain's cornhole, I think that's a little different than Glenn Beck speaking to 2 million, 5 million people with his radio and TV shows combined every damn day talking about conspiracies with progressives and impeach President Wilson and suddenly Woodrow Wilson is at issue in America. You know, there's no. And so what ends up happening is we simply drop the ball. And then something like George Bush happens. We get like at the end of the 90s, it's just like, Bill Clinton, and that Al Gore, he's not really exciting me. He's not saying the things that, I really want to hear. So they're kind of the same. Gore, Bush, who cares? Maybe I'll just vote for Nader. That'll be a thing. And then suddenly we have President George W. Bush because of both sides' nonsense. Imagine if we had had Al Gore. I still think Al Gore would have been impeached because of 9/11. But imagine if we had Al Gore for 8 years instead of George W. Bush. I mean, you would talk about, a sort of Back to the Future alternate timeline.
Yeah.
That would have been the Al Gore presidency. And how fantastic that would have been if we had just had some foresight, sucked it up a little bit, said, okay, look, you know what? These two guys, Clinton, Gore, they're not perfect. They're not necessarily even progressives at least at that point.
Yeah.
But they're a shitload better than that shit kicker from Texas, that marble mouth dolt. And you know what? We're going to suck it up and we're going to get behind this guy. And so the same dynamic has to happen now. We have to say, look, and I've said this many times. In fact, I said it when I wrote my endorsement, for what it was worth, of Barack Obama back in November of 2007. I said, I don't agree with this guy on, several things, like a handful of things. But I mean, you would talk about a president who is going to bring intelligence to the White House, who's going to bring pragmatism to the White House, who's going to be as damn close to having a liberal center-left president as we have had in many, many years, and who has the potential to be a popular one at that. And so you compromise. And I don't think there's anything wrong with making a compromise. Say, you know what, I don't like this policy. I think it's wrong, but you know what? I think the bigger picture demands that we not engage in this stupid accountability, that we that we're smart about it. It's glad to see like John Cole from Balloon Juice was arguing with Glenn Beck on Twitter. Glenn Greenwald, I meant to say.
Yeah.
Glenn Greenwald.
Same thing.
Yeah. And you know, they're friends. And you know, I guess my communication with Glenn Greenwald has been, you know, kind of adversarial. But, you know, but at the end of the day, I mean, we can kind of go, yeah, fine, whatever. And that's what those two did. But it was, I mean, that was a good illustration. If you go back and look on Twitter and you look up John G. Cole, or if you look up Glenn Greenwald in their Twitter feed, you can see the whole back and forth. And you know, obviously, I'm in sort of the John Cole camp of suck it up, guys. Grow up, will you please?
Yeah.
You know, because I just remember very distinctly, and it was, you know, it was 10 years ago. But I remember very distinctly what the clusterfuck that happened in the 2000 election. And I think most of it had to do with, and certainly Gore made some miscalculations politically. He had a kind of a shitty team. I don't know how Bob Shrum is still working in politics.
I don't either, frankly.
But suffice to say, we kind of, liberals, progressives, we just kind of got really lackadaisical about things and said, I remember
Let's two things. Let's remember that A, Gore won that election.
Yeah.
You know, fair and square, if you want to put it that way. But he won that election. And B, we're coming off the economy was. We were coming off just the roaring 90s sort of who gives a shit about anything really kind of. You know, economically there was this huge surplus and politically Clinton had accomplished a lot of stuff, but. Personality-wise, that guy just wanted to get the fuck out of Dodge. He was just so beaten down by everything. Yeah. There's a real sour mood in politics at the time. I can't fault anyone for at that time for being just, you know, throw your hands up and fuck it.
Yeah.
This is a completely different atmosphere politically. It's a more dangerous atmosphere for the incumbent.
Yeah.
But an incumbent president's hard to beat. He really, you know, it really is. And right now the field, I'm not so worried about our apathy as the other side's complete. I mean, just there's just no leadership. There's no it's just amateurs. And I really think it's going to backfire on them.
Yeah.
Hard, regardless of what we do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to say
we should stay home, but, you know, and I tend to think that at least one house going back to them. You know, the House maybe going back to Republican control, it would be good for Obama. Give him give him somebody to fight. Because right now I'm getting sick of this fighting ourselves bullshit.
No, it's not going to be good. There's going to be nothing good about it. Nothing good about it. Because that's what's happening. For anything to get done, there's going to have to be centrist moderate
policy.
That's
what I mean.
And then all of the firebaggers and all these, you know, sort of glib both sides bullshitters are going to do nothing but bitch and moan. And then it's going to be 2000 all over again with very little enthusiasm. You know, I mean, this president is getting the shit kicked out of him. I mean, he is putting himself through some things and I think admirably so that George W. Bush or even Bill Clinton never would have done. Neither of them would have put themselves in a position in a town hall meeting where someone, you know, where an African-American woman is saying to him to his face that she is fed up and she is disappointed with him and the whole litany of things, which, you know, more power to her. That's fine. But I think a bigger deal needed to be made of that. I think a bigger deal needed to be made of the fact that the president had such courage of his convictions that he was able to stand there and take it as president of the United States and say, this is a regular American who has something to say to me and it's negative and it's not pretty and I'm going to take it. And then I'm going to explain to this person what I'm going to do. And that is being presidential.
Well, I hope that Wall Street douchebag was watching that, but that woman, I mean, here's this, that guy could just, everything he said, I hope I didn't foul you on the court there. I'm like, you're talking to the president of the United States, you fucking cocksucker. Yeah. You shut up. I just wanted to drop a vault in his head.
I know.
He's like, I guess maybe I throw an elbow on the court there. I'm like, you don't talk to the president like that, bitch.
Yeah.
You shut up. And then he goes on about, whacking Wall Street and da, da, da. If I was the president, I'd have gone over there and just pants that guy. I would have stripped it.
Yeah.
Just down to his ankles, turned him around, put the waistband of his jockeys up over his head.
Right.
just, and then, I mean, compare those two. Here's this African-American woman who's a veteran, she said, and she all these things, and here's this whiny white bitch, you know, working Wall Street. Just, the disparity.
I mean, you want to so talk, funny. Exactly. You want to talk about not our people? I mean, there are people who you and I would get along with, and there are people who you and I would absolutely race to just pummel. And that is one of those guys. Like, that guy would walk up to you and I and go, and he would actually say, he would actually use this as a salutation to go, "Hey, guy." He'd call us guy. He'd say, "Hey, guy."
That would infuriate me.
Right. And then I would just,
there you go.
Stupid. Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
Right.
Yeah, I can't. And you know, I have to work with a bunch of those people.
God.
In my real job.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to hear that.
And everything they say. The last time I was in New York on business, their office right on Fifth Avenue. They're right in a really ritzy part of town, and overlooking Manhattan. And they're just all in there making their Danny Warbucks sounds and just checking their portfolios and everything. And just the distaste on my face because I can't say. You know, that's why I operate under a pseudonym, because I work in the belly of the beast, and I couldn't say, "Well, your politics make me want to fucking push you out that window."
Right. It's like those assholes in the BDO commercial on MSNBC. They're talking about, the effective tax rate was way off. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I contacted BDO. People who know BDO. I don't know what the fuck is BDO.
I don't know, because I don't get any money.
I have no idea.
But people with the wealth management in my portfolio and those commercials with those cartoon heads, like Scanner Darkly, cartoon half
swab. Yeah, well, the swab version.
When I pick up the phone, I don't want to spend money to talk to my broker. I'm like, "Oh, boo-hoo! Yeah. Fuck off!"
And then there's the new one with the MFS fund, where the guy's like, "I'm all about the alpha," where all these people are talking. They're taking on the personality of the index fund itself, and it's so stupid. Anyway,
ridiculous.
Pure products, pure genius. It's Bubble Genius at bubblegenius.etsy.com. Free soap for everyone who emails Bubble Genius a photo of themselves with their "I voted" sticker on election day. One soap per person. Do not screw with Bubble Genius. You'll get a code for a huge discount too, which could be good for 2 weeks, first 2 weeks of November. So make sure to get your "I voted" sticker, take a little picture, send it over to Bubble Genius. Also, I did open my care package finally from Bubble Genius, and guess what they made for me? That I have a soap here. They made a sort of a clear soap with a photograph of Joni from Mad Men embedded in the soap. That's kind of neat. I got a custom Joni from Mad Men soap. So I will.
I want to know what you're going to be doing with it.
I will enjoy that. And then, of course, I got lots of dog hygiene products, which I'll just use on myself.
Yeah. Make it work.
Joni soap. I don't even know if they offer that, but they're going to be adding hundreds of new items over at Bubble Genius as soon as their site is back up and working. Anyway,
huzzah.
Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Yes, indeed. This segment of the Bob and Elvis Show is brought to you by Dusty Dog Vintage. Stylish women's vintage clothing and accessories, along with Mad Men Throwback Cool for the Guys. Shop Dusty Dog Vintage on Etsy at www.dustydogvintage.com. I've got to really kind of work on that. I want to use that. I think that's such a clever way to do it. I think that's so, it's so smart. It's a smart way to say that, because there's no artful way to say www.
No.
W. Doesn't seems like there's an extra double in there. I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
W. Yeah.
I feel, you know what? I feel like playing that, that Brian. Is it Brian Butterfield? Brian Butterfield. I'm going to bring that
He
up.
Needs a bigger following in America, and I don't think anybody knows who he is yet.
Right.
He's huge in Britain. I mean, he's the Jerry Seinfeld of Britain. But no one knows him over here. I follow him on Twitter. Everything he says is brilliant.
Yeah.
So
here's
this was me, Brian Butterfield, 6 months ago before starting my diet plan. But just look at me now. I feel like a new man thanks to the Butterfield diet. The results have been incredible.
No one here.
Oh, sorry. The results have been incredible. Okay, here's your weekday plan.
I mean, you gotta look at it for the, I mean, the makeup. He's so hideous looking in this fat guy makeup, in this fat suit.
I know, because in real life, he's just skinny as a rail. He doesn't look anything like, he's got the best makeup people in the world.
He kind of looks like, yeah, Peter Sinofinowicz looks, Sinofinowicz, I hope I'm saying that correctly. He kind of looks like a young Pacino, but he's got, in this Brian Butterfield diet plan, he's got this big fat guy makeup. Just hilarious.
He's like Jiminy Glick.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, exactly.
One cornflake, toasted with low-fat spread. Drink, hot water. Lunch, small raw potato, peeled. Salad, mini lettuce leaf. Drink, room temperature water. Dinner, square of low-fat turkey breast. Baked bean in low-fat tomato sauce. Broccoli shavings. Drink, chilled water. Pudding, ice cubes and artificial sweetener. Follow this diet to the letter every day. Then, at the weekend, it's time for a reward. Saturday is treat day. For 24 hours, you can literally eat anything.
Pizza, birthday pie, pints of cream, pork cylinders, potato grids, artificial bacon, large Macs.
You name it.
Sandwich casserole, chocolate quail's eggs, garlic pudding, fluffy ruffs, hoisin crispy owl, pasta pillows, bonbons, McFortune cookies.
It's up to you.
Discount foie gras, egg and ham slabs, during dinner mince, mystery meat, quiches Lorraine, 20 cheese omelette.
Anything goes. Just remember, you've only got 24 hours and not a second longer. Sunday is your rest day.
Rest day.
These trousers are so loose. I think I may need to buy a new belt. The Butterfield Diet Plan. Order it exclusively online at www.butterfielddiet.com.
Full stop.
Call now.
What I always miss is I would love to be able to memorize the whole list of foods because I forget. I mean, once you get to bonbons, everything else kind of gets obliterated in your mind because that's so funny. Yeah. But the sandwich casserole, for some reason, is cracking me up. The sandwich casserole.
And then full stop.
It's so British. Great. So British. Fluffy ruffs. Fluffy ruffs.
Sausage cylinders.
Sausage cylinders. Large Macs. Hey, you know who went kind of loopy this week?
Yes, I do.
We're going to have to notify the affiliates because we're going long. But McCain went like totally like Howard Hughes this week. It was kind of this weird rant about don't ask, don't tell, in which he just started to, get. I mean, it was like a full McCain moment. I mean, he literally was getting bitchy and crabby and cutting people off and getting
using his hands in that robotic way that he does that. Hey, get with his hands. He's just creepy.
And then he went into like this repetitive thing. Let's play the tape.
You do not go out and seek. Regulations are you do not go out and seek.
I mean, the audio is really bad, so I'm going to, he's bitching at reporters about, what Don't Ask, Don't Tell is all about, and he's basically justifying Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a policy.
Dug himself a hole by saying, I know the military, I'm plugged into the military. I mean, totally undermining his authority by tying himself so, it's just documented proof. It's just a fact. And he may be technically correct when he says it's not the policy. I think he finally realized towards the end that he was wrong and that he could, provably wrong. So by concentrating on it's not the policy, and I think he said that 6 times, it's not the policy. By saying that, I think he was filling the hole in that he had dug, because that's technically correct.
Right.
But it doesn't matter what the policy is, and somebody in the room says that. It may be the policy, but that's not the practice.
Yeah,
that's not
right.
What's going on.
Guys are getting discharged left and right.
Yeah.
And
And it's certainly not because they're coming out left and right. I mean, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell is all about making military people lie to their superiors, which, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's like number one or two in the military code of justice is, you know, don't lie to your superiors, right? Yeah. So it's pitiful. It's pathetic. That it's one of the worst legacies of the Clinton administration that this utter bullshit is still on the books.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally
and McCain
agree.
Just went out of his and it's just awful for someone like McCain who when it was politically expedient for him when he was Mr. Middle of the Road and he really was that he'd say, well, if the commanders say it's okay, then I'm, you know, fuck it, we'll undo it.
Yeah.
He's just completely run so far to his right, he's off the cliff with a little Wile E. Coyote sign that says, you know, uh-oh, or exclamation point. He's the least honorable person in politics right now. It just makes me sick.
Well, here's him just going Howard Hughes here, just repeating this line.
It is not the policy. It is not the policy.
But
it
is the case that it's happening, Senator.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
At that point, he's
said seven times.
Yeah,
he was seven times.
He was like doing a little dance too. He was like not. He was over here, not the policy. Yeah,
with his arms, right?
Yeah,
he's
on the right
like
side,
like an automaton at Disney World. Not the policy. Not the policy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that scene from The Aviator. Show me the blueprints. Yeah.
Serious now. Mm-hmm. Show me all the blueprints. 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 Show me all the blueprints.
Right. And so, I mean, that's exactly what it was like. He just completely lost his spadoinkle there.
He did. That guy could have been our president.
Yeah.
And Lamey Lamestream Media could have been our vice president.
Can you imagine that? Vice President Lamestream? God. Jesus Christ.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, talk about dodging a gigantic effing bullet.
Yeah,
in 2008,
a Super Mario World size bullet. The bullets are just giant bullet with faces on them.
I can't even imagine how those two Nimrods would have handled. And there's McCain on the floor of the Senate talking about this guy named Admiral Roughhead. I mean, literally,
you know, that's code for something.
Yeah, it's Roughhead.
That's what he, you know, on the odd Saturday that he and his robot wife actually have sex, he's, get ready for Admiral Roughhead!
Right. His military advisors are Mayor McCheese and Admiral Akbar. Oh my God.
It's a trap!
It's a trap! Show me the blueprints, show me the blueprints. So, I mean, if those two had been elected president, your dream of living in a cardboard box would have come true.
Oh, I would be having this episode from France right now.
Yeah, or you know, I think we would be standing literally on soapboxes on a street corner wearing like barrels or something, like nothing but like these barrels, and just like
I'd be so happy
screaming the show just at passersby. Hey, it's Bob and Elvis show. Hey, stop! Stop! Don't. We'd end up like that. You know, I tried.
Show me the blueprints.
Show me the blueprints. Show me the blueprints. You know, I watched another episode of The Big C. I tried to give it another chance. Fail. That guy is just awful on The Big C. That hippie brother. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You fudge with us. You fudge with the best. Drive safely, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Bye, everybody.